Today's practice is a bit of a warning from the Lord, and a very strong one in that way. When we put Jesus' words into practice, our soul is a solid truster of Christ, and we get to be on a solid foundation when we put His words into practice. When we don't put Jesus' words into practice, our soul crashes and crumbles, and Jesus compared those things to a house that would do the same. And Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount when He said these things. He confronts us because He loves us. And you'll find no greater sermon than the Sermon on the Mount. There's other great sermons in the Bible. The whole Bible is a sermon of equal and great importance. And so the Sermon on the Mount brings us good news about Christ and gives us a counterculture way to live by following Jesus. It's against sinful selfishness. It's against trying to live life without God. A very powerful sermon it is. Three chapters worth in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. So when Jesus says, whoever hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, now He's talking about what He just preached about. Okay, chapter 5, 6, and 7. These words of mine put into practice. And, of course, everything else the Lord said in the Bible. Here's some highlights of God's absolute truth there that Jesus preached on the Sermon on the Mount. And our response to these words are usually one of three, with the help of some of my Christian brothers, heard this example. Our response is either paralysis. We say, oh, no, I can't do this. I can't live this way. I'm going to walk away from Jesus and His words. Or it's pride, saying, no sweat. This is the way I live already. Thank you, Jesus, for just describing my life every day. And the third response, and the most healthy, is, oh, Lord, help. Oh, Lord, help. I need You to be my rock, and I need Your help to put these things into practice. So here's some of what Jesus said on a Sermon on the Mount. And again, with the Lord's help, we could do this. Watch out for the pride or the paralysis response. Some teachings here. One pretty challenging teaching, I would say, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. So whoever you feel like is an enemy in your life, could be your own self. You know, put yourself before God. Some ornery family member, some atheist, some radical Muslim. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. All of a sudden, my prayer list got bigger. I was praying for my friends, you know, and the people I know who are sick and everything like that. Now I'm praying for what I would say would be the bad guys out there. Okay? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. A hard saying. Blessed are the persecuted. That's a shocker. I want to avoid persecution. But Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have trouble. If people hate the Lord, they're going to hate His children. So that's going to be painful. And people were experiencing that full blast, you know, in the Middle East and different parts of Asia and so forth. And somehow Jesus says, you know, my hand is with you when all that stuff comes against you. But put that into practice. Know God's help. Blessed are the meek and the merciful. I don't know if anybody described you that way this week. Oh, here comes Mr. So-and-so. He's meek and merciful. Or he's poor in spirit and a peacemaker. Might not be. If you're a peacemaker, you probably got shot from both sides. One guy, this side wants to kill the other guy. You're in the middle, they'll kill you too. Same thing, vice versa. And we really need God Himself to help us live this way. Again, don't be paralyzed by it. Don't be prideful about it, but be repentant about it. Here's a practical one. No murder or adultery in the heart. So what's going on in my heart, what's going on in my mind is to reflect the goodness of God and His love for people. And so love is a cure for revenge. Okay, you start to love the enemy, and love is a cure for lust. I remember in seminary, the guys, you know, a lot of the guys, we weren't married yet, and so we're thinking, no, maybe we could just, you know, chase the gals and all this other stuff, not in a healthy way. But we had a saying, love defeats lust. How true that is. If you have a pornography problem, and if you're a guy, you kind of notice that occasionally, you know. Oh, there, look at that. Love is a cure for lust. And so Jesus said, put those words into practice or your soul will crumble and crash, you know, with murder and all kinds of things. Here's a practical one. Don't blow the trumpet when giving or serving. Okay, that's a rough one. Mostly addressed to committed people, because committed people, what? Give and serve. But if you blow the trumpet, Jesus says, well, that doesn't reflect the work of God at all. And so we should know that when we do our best, we are, on our best days, we are unprofitable servants. Okay? That'll keep us leaning on the Lord. Not paralyzed, not prideful, but moving to God. Here's a tough one. You cannot serve God and money. Okay. Now, if you're a Christian in America, you've basically been fed every day of your life, and sometimes even among brothers and sisters in Christ. You can serve God and money. Yeah, absolutely. Jesus says, wait a minute. One of them you're going to love, and one of them you're going to say, no, that's really not important in my life. It's a tool and so on. But put the Lord first. In a couple of weeks, we'll have some people give testimonies about stewardship. Help us do that with his strength. Always put God first, Jesus said. Again, Sermon on the Mount. Seek first His kingdom. Don't be anxious. Pray to our Father in heaven. Oh, Lord, we need You and we want to praise You. Treat others like you want to be treated. The fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Pretty high standards. That we say, again, not prideful, oh, this is easy, not fearful, but knowing the sobriety of the task before us. And then taking the plank out of your eye. In other words, we'll always be busy with repenting in our own life. I could look at almost everybody, and, you know, you and I, we see the faults in other people's lives and their sins. But Jesus said, you got a bigger sin. And it's right where you're looking, you know, right where you're thinking, to get the plank out of your eye. Be in that repentant mode as a Christian. And Jesus is challenging us, put these words into practice. Do the will of God like this, because there's something, because if not, it's not only a crashing soul versus a solid soul, it's heaven or it's hell. It's knowing Jesus, or Jesus saying, I don't even know who you are. If you're not saying, Lord, help me live this way. So it's a sober thing. A young Korean Christian was memorizing the Sermon on the Mount and making good progress, you know, and wanting help with that. So his older Christian brother said, hey, be careful. Don't just fly through it. You know, think about what the Lord's saying. He can change our soul like this, point us to His goodness. And the young one was quite wise. He said, you know what? I memorize a verse at a time, and whatever I memorize, I go and I do. I take one passage, I go and I do it. And then I'll be sure I remember it if I do it. And that's what Jesus is asking us to do here. Hear His words and put them into practice. And so Jesus gives this final warning at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Don't call me Lord, Lord, if you don't put the words of mine into practice or do the will of my Father in heaven. Because you'll have a solid life if you do, and a devastated life if you don't. And that's why Augustine, when he looked at God's word, he asked God for help to walk this way. He said, oh Lord, provide what you command. And hopefully, as you look at different parts of the Bible, and I do, we say, oh, Lord, this is so fantastic about you and your ways. Please provide what you command. Because there's no way we're going to get close to the standards that you have. But with Christ, oh, we could walk in God's ways. It's almost as big as a miracle as saving our soul is the miracle of changing our the way we live. So let's hear about the warning a little more closely, because it brings, I think, conviction and some dread in analyzing our own relationship with God. First of all, Jesus said, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, or eventually will go to heaven in that manner. Only those who do God's will. And that scares me, Lord, Lord, because I say Lord, Lord fairly frequently, probably every day. Lord, Lord, in prayer. I mean, outwardly, I'm saying, Lord, Lord. And it's also representative of closeness between myself and the person's name who I repeated. I say, Regina, Regina. You know, oh, he must be close to his dear wife, you know. Or they must need to work something out there with the closeness. Lord, Lord. So Jesus said, look, if you say you're close to me and you have intense allegiance, just saying that doesn't mean necessarily that you even belong to me. Okay, what really matters, what I want you to do, hear these words of mine. Put them into practice. Okay, follow me with my help. That's how your soul is solid. Not so much what you say, Lord, Lord, what you say, I'm close to God. Well, maybe we're not as close to God as we think. We say, Lord, Lord. And so Jesus gives us that warning because he loves us and he wants to turn us around. Loving obedience ties in with the closeness then. Okay. And then Jesus goes on to say, not just saying, Lord, Lord, he says, and not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, I prophesied in your name. Now that's pretty high activities. I am proclaiming things in the name of God. You would say that? That's important. Okay. That's really something. If you tell things that are from God and about God, prophesying means to proclaim God's word, but also might have something to do with it. I can tell you, you know, next year, God told me that China's going to be in a big war. Next year comes around and behold, China's in a big war. See, that Daniel's, I knew he was close to God, you know. Jesus says, wait a minute. Even if you prophesy in my name and you don't do what I ask you to do in terms of the way you live, you're not a part of what I'm up to. You're not a part of what I'm doing. And so God wants us to turn to him and know the importance. Obedience more important than preaching. I told somebody before church, we were talking about stuff, and he said, easier said than done. I said, yeah, that's why I'm a preacher. You know, easier said than done. We want to say it for sure, but we want to do it so much more so. So to do God's word, watch for the alleged intimacy. No, that's not your standard. Watch for the preaching or how prophesying you are. That's not a standard. Or how about this one? Even if you say, Lord, Lord, didn't we exorcise demons in your name and do miracles in your name? Now, that's really something, I would think. That's about as high as you can get in terms of, he must be a Christian. The demon was there, and now it's gone, and this poor gal had cancer, and, you know, and Mary prayed for her, and it's the miracle happened. I want to be like Mary. How about you? Jesus says, well, look, that's really not the ultimate. What I want you to do, and what I want Mary to do, hear my words. Follow me by living that way. Okay. You start to treat others like you want to be treated. You know, ask God to help you understand poor in spirit. And be that peacemaker and pray our Father in heaven and practice that forgiveness, you know, that's so hard. Somebody said forgiveness is a wonderful thing until you have to do it. You say, I need God's help. The point of what Jesus is saying, I think, is so important. And he's compassionate with that confrontation. He's letting us know, you know, life is way, way too difficult and way, way too painful simply to be put back together by preaching or exorcism or miracles. It has to be Jesus, and it has to be his words, you know, and doing them. Life is, and you know that if you've been through life. Oh, you appreciate the prophecy, and you appreciate the, certainly you want a miracle this week. You'll want another one next month, but you're glad to get this week. And the exorcism, we need that. But so much more important, life is way too painful than just those things to keep you rolling. It has to be Jesus the rock, and Jesus the rock of his ways. Which they are wonderful ways, you have to say. And it doesn't mean we won't struggle to do God's will. He'll help us. You know, it's not a life of perfection. It's a definite direction. One man had the biggest problem of anger you'd ever want to see. He had the problem of anger in the heart. Contempt for God, people, and life. He receives Christ, so he has, you know, he has a new thing in his heart. He has the new heart and the Holy Spirit himself in his soul. He grows in thankfulness and patience. But one morning he wakes up, he's trying to get ready for work, can't find his socks, blurts out in frustration, I can't find, what do I have to do to get my blankety blank socks in this blankety blank? His wife doesn't even have to say anything. The Lord calls him on it right off the bat. You know, and he prays, oh Lord, clean my heart and mouth, because I can't even look for socks without dishonoring you. And that man, you know, showed repentance. He showed, I want to build my house on Jesus and his ways, not on my ways. And that man was on his way of being a very effective follower of Jesus. The overestimation of our obedience, God's word helps us here. It says, if you think you stand, be careful so you don't fall. So many times, I think as believers, we think, I'm really, really strong, let's say, I'm really, really strong in my prayer life. I'm a great prayer. You know, I'm solid with that. Next thing you know, if I have that attitude, I'm hardly talking to God, or when I'm talking to God, I'm really just blowing hot air because I thought I was strong, but I'm not trusting Christ. And then in the opposite way, the areas in our life we think we're really, really weak. Let's say, I'm weak in serving, too much time, I have to be unselfish. You know, I realize I'm not a good server. Pretty soon, that weakness becomes a strength in our lives of obedience because we realize if I'm going to serve at all, I'm going to need God's help. So you end up being a great server. Because you know, hey, without God, I'm no parts of that. But God does more than we think or ask. So love obeys God. And to say, oh, Jesus, you can help us be this way. Here's some, heart connected with the feet. John Piper, compliments of John Piper here. Love obeys God. To say, I admire Jesus more than I admire any other person. That's just the soul and the feet following of who the Lord is. Takes care of our worship. I honor the words of Jesus more than my words. Again, wanting to say, okay, the Lord's word is absolute truth and precious. You know, we have the privilege of putting it into practice and knowing him that way. Somebody on Wednesday night said a real great thing. They said, when we obey God, it's a chance to know him better because we're leaning on him. I'm thankful for Jesus more than any other gift. Just say, well, we can be thankful with his help all the time because he's always with us. I want to be with Jesus more than I want to be with anyone. That's really good. Now, that's not an excuse to be a recluse. I'd rather be with Jesus and away from everybody else. No. To be with Jesus while we're with others and mostly with Him all the time. And then these things that God can produce in us, I'm more glad about Jesus and His honor than my honor. Just to say, to honor God, that's what I want. And you could do that with your life. You know, trust and obey gives great honor to God. I like this one. I think Jesus is more brilliant than anyone. So when I think, you know, hey, who understands life, really? Jesus. And nobody's going to top Him. I'd rather follow Jesus than follow anyone. And we say, Lord, I trust in You. This whole Sermon on the Mount points to salvation as a gift that we want to say, look, we're not right with God by trying to do these things, but because of salvation, we could walk in this way, and it's a wonderful gift from God. And only, Jesus would have to conclude with this, only those who are truly born again will obey God consistently. Okay. Only those who are truly born again will obey God consistently. And then otherwise, it'll be one crash after the next. Turn to Christ. If that's the case, you read the Sermon on the Mount and say, I have no interest in all that whatsoever. That was garbage. Say, Lord, I need You. I need salvation. And you'll look at that, His Word, and you'll say, that's the truth. And I'm gonna live this way. And just to hear God's Word in a final illustration, a couple goes to Israel and they see a shepherd, you know, working out in the fields, a real rural setting. And the sheep herder says, hey, call the sheep. Call the sheep, go ahead. And the wife starts to yell at the sheep, hey, sheep, 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 or whatever you say to sheep, come here, you know, food, food. And the sheep are just eating. They're not even listening to this person. And then the shepherd says, watch this. One word, sheep. All the sheep look up. You know, food. All the sheep start to follow the shepherd. And that's our soul's response to Jesus. He invites it to be like that. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They really, really do follow me. They follow me. So to say, oh Lord, we want our soul and our life to be on a solid rock of You and Your Word, and not the crash of life in the sand. And He's gracious to provide this for us. Could we pray and lean on the Lord at this time? Lord, this is a passage of dreadfulness, of fearfulness, of challenge, of repentance. It's a check on our religiosity, saying, Lord, Lord. And I was excited about the exorcism last week and, you know, Mrs. Jones' miracle, and we don't reject that. We rejoice, but we want to rejoice what You rejoice in the most, be to hear Your words and put them into practice. So please help us live this way. This is the ways of the Lord are right and true, and they are bring joy to the soul. So let us do this because of the gift of salvation. We're glad to follow. In Your name we pray. Amen.